Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
So the Britt Reid apology to the family of Ariel Young has not gone over well. This is a little reported story. KCTV5 has reported on it, but not very many other outlets are sharing this. KCTV5 found this on Facebook after an attorney for Britt Reid, the former Chiefs coach, that is pleading guilty on Monday to felony DUI after basically maiming or ruining Ariel Young's physical capabilities for life in this terrible car crash, has become the subject and the wrath of Felicia Miller, who's the mom of Ariel Young. And this was all posted on Facebook after this apology came out. She was not happy with the attorney's apology. And so Felicia Miller went to Facebook and posted, "You can shove your sorry up your ass," to Britt Reid with four middle finger emojis. And then in response to others who responded to her on Facebook, she said, quote, "They put that shit out there to make him look better," unquote. Then she went on to say, if this entire story were the other way around, she would be in jail without bond as a black criminal. Okay. And this leads to a much bigger picture issue and something that is, we talk about a lot here on KKHI, and is one of the biggest reasons why America has become so polarized. And we have the issues that we have today with people on the right or the left, or people that believe America is inherently bad or inherently good, that believe America is racist or not racist. We have all these different people, millions and millions of people that are just entrenched on opposite sides of these things. And I believe one of the reasons is that journalism is dying. We've talked about this a lot, but I'm going to give you some examples of what's going on this week, because this is an amazing week for journalism in America and maybe an amazing time for journalism. And I'm hoping it will turn. So let's first address the issue with Britt Reid. And the problem with the Britt Reid story is simply this. There's some holes in her story in some ways. They have taken money and settled with the Kansas City Chiefs to remain quiet. They clearly were in no financial position to take care of all their medical bills and do everything that was necessary here until this was all resolved. Remember, Britt Reid was driving a car that was owned by a car dealership, so there were a lot of people on the hook here for liability. They were always going to get the stuff paid. They were victims in this accident. That was never in doubt. But as things were mounting and as their life was unraveling and as things were spiraling out of control for them, the thought of easy money from the Kansas City Chiefs was probably too much to take. Do they contradict themselves when they take that money and say they won't comment on the Chiefs? They won't say anything. They sign a non-disclosure agreement. They do all that. But then Britt Reid's attorney apologizes for him, and she posts on Facebook that they can shove shove your apology up your ass with four middle fingers, and saying they put that shit out there to make him look better. And if it were the other way around, she would have been jailed the entire time and not allowed out on bond. Okay, so have they broken the non-disclosure agreement with the Chiefs? To me, it doesn't matter. That will never become a legal matter. The Kansas City Chiefs can never, ever, I'm sorry, and I don't know if Tom Porto knows this, the lawyer. I don't know if Felicia Miller knows this, the mom. The Chiefs can never, ever enforce that agreement. They can't. I'm sorry. They can't. If this mother ever comes out publicly and states what she knows or does interviews and says what happens, and the Chiefs want to go to her and say, we're going to stop paying you now because you broke this non-disclosure agreement, do you know what kind of public backlash there would be? The Chiefs have, the Chiefs know this, but the other side doesn't know this. The Chiefs have no chance of ever enforcing that thing. But Felicia Miller doesn't know that. So she goes on Facebook, and I'm not so sure that what she did was within the legal parameters of the agreement that she signed with the Chiefs to get all this money and get bought off. But she did it, and the Chiefs aren't going to complain. They won't comment. They want this thing to go away. I am rooting for Felicia Miller, okay, to come forward with more information and to continue this. And I am begging media outlets in Kansas City, shame on you. You have built your empires on stories about white privilege, liberal causes, racism in America, and the plight of the African-American existence. You have written stories that say the roads where most African-Americans live in Kansas City are racist. We have stories about Senate candidates in Wisconsin. This Mandela Barnes is running for Senate in Wisconsin. He claims America's national parks are racist. And they write these stories seriously. And they live off of these stories. This is their medium. This is their wheelhouse. If there were ever a story for the Kansas City Star to dive into and dig deep, it would be the white privilege ownership of the Kansas City Chiefs versus the black family with very minimal means, victims in this crash, and her words saying, you can shove your I'm sorry up your ass. They put that shit out there to make him look better. And if this were the other way around, I, the black woman, would be in jail and wouldn't be able to be allowed out on bond for what I did. Where are the media outlets in this town? This story is just sitting on a tee for them. It is just sitting there. You couldn't, if we got some Hollywood writers in here and I said, let's come up with a story in Kansas City that would have immense public interest, tremendous public interest and sympathy and sorrow and tears and outrage. If you came up with it and you said the perp is the epitome of white privilege, 36-year-old son of multimillionaires that has never had a job in his life, has past convictions that he just got off scot-free. Why? Because he's white? Because he's rich? Because he has good lawyers? I'm not here to answer it. I'm just telling you what their argument is. I don't know all those answers. But boy, if you were going to write this script, and then you said, he's going to get drunk at work one day after his daddy, who's the boss, allowed him to drink at work with this billion-dollar corporation, and a half a mile away from his office, he goes up an on-ramp, he's not paying attention, he's doing 83 miles an hour drunk, slams into a car, five people in the car are all injured, he's injured and goes to the hospital, but one little girl almost dies, and now she's basically brain damaged for life and can't function properly the rest of her life, that he does this. Oh, and this family was black, and they don't have a lot of means, and they don't have a lot of wherewithal. And they come out and they're really mad at this guy. Okay? But they take money from the black family takes money from the white privilege family. That's ultimately what we have. We have the white privilege of the Hunts. And make no mistake, if there is an example of one person in Kansas City that you can say white privilege about, it is Clark Hunt. Okay? Lamar Hunt was the epitome of white privilege. His dad at one point was the richest man in America. Then Lamar Hunt went on and did what he did, but now we're talking about generations of wealth and white privilege. If this is the story they love, if this is what the Kansas City Star loves, if it's what other newspapers, blogs, outlets, NPR radio, Kansas City Public Radio, the TV stations for the most part, not all of them, if this is the story that they crave and they love, why are they not doing the story? Ask yourself, what is going on when all you hear is stories about this? And now we have Felicia Miller going to Facebook, and I applaud KCTV for reporting the story. Maybe they'd like to get an opinionist on like me to point these things out. I'm happy to be a guest on any of the TV stations, any of your shows, and point out the ridiculousness of the number of stories in any given year that are reported in Kansas City about white privilege and underprivilege of African-Americans, but we will not state it anywhere with this story. We will not talk about it. It will be ignored. By the way, Felicia Miller's comments on Facebook are nowhere to be found on the Star's website. I can't even find the reporting of it. They're not even saying, oh, this happened. Britt Reid gave an apology through his lawyer. Oops, and the mom ain't too happy. They don't even report that. So I credit KCTV5 for at least reporting that. She went to Facebook and said, shove your I'm sorry up your ass. Are you kidding me? This family is still pissed. They will be pissed for life at Britt Reid. And of course, there's some hypocrisy in slamming him and saying all these things, yet they took all this money from the Chiefs and signed an agreement with the Chiefs. Yes, of course, there's hypocrisy in it. But if, and in this case, I can see it. Okay, this one's clear. This is not national parks are racist. This bridge is racist. This highway is racist. Okay, America is racist. Everyone runs around and hates black people. That's not what this is. If you want to take the narrative and you want to really look at injustice or things that happen in this country where you can clearly say, wow, this is white privilege versus a black family that really has not had the same opportunities or the same wherewithal, upbringing, whatever you want to say it may be. Look, I'm not big on these stories. I'm not championing these stories. They are few and far between. And I don't know, we don't know what Britt Reid's going to be sentenced to. I think he's going to jail for at least a couple of years. I don't think he's getting off. Most of the people, my friends are all like, oh, he's not going to do any time. He's going to get suspended, whatever. I'm like, he's got priors, man. This guy's a criminal, okay? He's an addict and a criminal, and he's a danger, and he needs to be locked up and cleaned up. And make sure that while he's in jail, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do drugs, he doesn't do anything. And he gets help, and he gets clean. And they can help him out in jail. That's where he belongs. Britt Reid belongs in prison, period. He probably belonged in prison long before he got to Kansas City. But great lawyers, second chances, soft on crime criminal system, and this applies to whites and blacks. We can get into that, into the weeds, on how deep that is right now and all the people we're letting out. Because every bad crime we're now seeing, everything that's happening in society, is people with priors. Most Americans don't have priors. Most Americans don't have a time in jail and they were released. But every nasty, awful crime we're seeing in America now is somebody that was in jail that we let out. And Britt Reid falls in that category. He was in jail, and then he's out. And at some point, we have to take these people seriously and say, we're going to punish you for real. And I'm not an expert in criminal reform. We used to have overcrowding in prisons. We do not. They use that as an excuse to let more people out. We're just getting more and more crime. This is not the murderous rampage of the guy in Memphis. I get it. This is Britt Reid, but he's a danger. He is a danger, and the Chiefs knew he was a danger. And that's why they signed a deal and gave all this money to this family. I don't think Felicia Miller has any idea the position of power she is in. If she held a news conference and basically said what she said on Facebook, this would now be a national story. It would be everywhere. CNN would be here live everywhere. This would be one of the biggest stories in America if she had a news conference and stood in front of the camera and said, Britt Reid, you can shove your apology up your ass. Here's my daughter. Look at her. If she did that. So I don't know what's going on with this family. They're clearly still really, really angry and should be. Yet they signed this deal with the Chiefs for a whole bunch of money, so they can't really do what they want to do. Of course, there's hypocrisy in that. I'm not going to criticize that family. I've never been in that position. I don't know what I'd do, and I can't criticize them for what they're doing. All I know is I'm a free speech champion. I'm a guy who wants the truth. I'm curious. I want to know. And I think the public has the right to know. And the despicable part of the aftermath of this a year and a half later is this is the greatest story ever put on a tee for the Kansas City Star, and they're not reporting it. This fits into every racism trope and narrative that they've ever done, everything they've ever thought, everything they've ever wanted to write. You could sit there all day and write stories about how bridges are racist. And most people will read that and go, okay, whatever. You write this one, you're getting your credibility back. You go do an investigative piece. The Kansas City Star did an investigative piece. They could win a Pulitzer. They could win prizes. They could win awards. If they found out what happened at Arrowhead Stadium and reported that, and wrote it in a series of op-eds afterwards about white privilege and the African-American experience, they'd have it. And for once, they would have a story that people would read and they'd go, oh my God, that's right. Jeez. You know, I've heard all this stuff and never really thought about it because I've never seen the example of it that resonated. Well, what would resonate more than Clark Hunt and his billions, and the entire Hunt family, by the way, all right, giving millions when they have billions to this family to make this go away? So it's not in the papers. So it's not reported. So people don't see this about them. So it doesn't become a national story for the NFL. There is no defense of any of this. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just get real for a second. There is no defense for anything the Chiefs have done in this. None. Now, it's the justice system we live in. And if we want to call it privilege, I can't call this one Democrat privilege. I know what Democrat privilege is. Democrat privilege is you get away with stuff. That would be different. If the Chiefs, the Chiefs aren't a bunch of Democrats. They're not. Hunt family's been Republicans. Andy Reid's a Republican. They're GOP. Okay, this is the, I'm telling you, it's sitting there on a tee. This is the time to look at Clark Hunt's political contributions and his white privilege and growing up a billionaire and all these things. And why won't they do it? Why won't they do it? Why won't, when push comes to shove, why won't liberal media outlets do the right thing and say the right thing? I'm saying it. I've been saying this stuff for years. It got me sideways more often, more years with the Chiefs and other teams and Royals. You have no idea how sideways I was my entire career because of things that I would say that I knew. I never got sued. They never came after me. They didn't sue me. They didn't say what you're saying is incorrect. No. They try to strong arm you. They go to your sponsors. They try to get you fired. They talk to your bosses. This started back when I was at Channel 4. The Chiefs tried to get me fired. Carl Peterson tried to get me fired before I even did sports radio. He tried to get me fired. I did a really simple story one time. A very simple opinion piece. I got 90 seconds on Wednesday nights. And the story was, Tim Grunhardt had said something to the effect of, Marty says he'll pay our fines if we get a personal foul against the Broncos. I went to Marty. Marty says it isn't true. All I did was come on and say, one of these two's lying. Grunhardt says, yes, he told him that. Marty says, no. I said, somebody's lying here. Oh my God, it was the end of the world. He couldn't believe it. Carl Peterson's calling the general manager, Channel 4, trying to get me fired. We're pulling all the, at that time it was Price Chopper. We're pulling all the Price Chopper ads. I'm calling Price Chopper. They're pulling all the commercials. I'm sitting there with my news director and my general manager, folks. This is the 90s, okay? This is how quickly this stuff has changed. This is the 90s. Ed Piette was the general manager. Mike McDonald was the news director. Ed Piette said, and I'm scared to death. He says, do you know how big an account Price Chopper is at Channel 4? I said, well, I see their spots all the time. I can only imagine. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars a year Price Chopper was spending at Channel 4 on advertising. He said, it's suspended as of right now. We've lost it all. Carl Peterson made the call, pulled the advertising, and was calling other advertisers to have it pulled until I was fired. And Ed Piette decided not to fire me because my news director said, Kevin did a real piece here. He went to both of them. One of them said one thing. One of them said the other. He pointed out one of them's not telling the truth. We did nothing wrong. That's what journalism is. These are the kind of men that led me. And these men are older than me, okay? And I was intimidated by them. And I was in my 20s. I'm a young guy, right? 30 years old, 29, 30 years old. Trying to make a name for myself, trying to do the right thing. This is not the end of the world. But in NFL circles at the time, it was a big deal. Is Marty Schottenheimer offering to pay the fines for his players if they get personal foul penalties against the Broncos? That's a real story. That is a real story, folks. In the business I was in, that's a real story. And I had it. And I had people that stood by me and said, nope, just the truth matters. It's gone. The truth doesn't matter anymore. Nobody wants this story. They just want the season to start. The lead story at kcstar.com, of course, the lead story of the whole digital newspaper, not news, not just sports. No, the lead story is Patrick Mahomes has a new commercial for State Farm. He's taking a bath. It's about bath bombs and jazz musician plays while he takes a bath. It's cute. It's funny. I watched it. Everybody sees it. It's out on social media. That's the lead story of your paper that loves to report and try to win awards about white privilege and racism in America when they have this story sitting on a tee with them, that this woman told Britt Reid to shove his apology up his ass with four middle finger emojis, and they put this blank out there to make him look better, and that if this was the other way around, I'd be in jail. They would have never let me out on bond because I'm black. Wow. That's the story we're going to ignore? Oh, my God. I know, folks, I'm fired up. I know I'm fired up. I maybe need to calm down. I am so disappointed in my industry. And I'm sorry. I know a lot of people in the media in this town listen to this podcast. I am so disappointed, not in you individually that you're not doing the story, but that you work and live and exist in a corporate environment that doesn't allow you the freedom to do the right story. That doesn't. They're now looking at business and being Kansas City media outlets ahead of their job. And again, it's not the individuals. I know there are people that want to do this story, and there are people in charge saying, you are not doing that story. The Chiefs will pull our advertisers. They will turn on us. We will lose this. We have if you're 41, you have a contract with them. You know, the Star has a relationship and affiliation with them. They all have side deals, sponsorships, all this stuff. You know, Odyssey, 610 Sports Radio, 106.5 The Wolf, they have contracts with the Chiefs, official partners of the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, when you're in business with sports teams, you cannot report on sports teams. You can't. It cannot be done. It can't be done. And I think the big picture here, and yes, I'm fired up because this is local, and yes, this story is important to me, but I'm really fired up because this is what's wrong with America right now. You know, we always look at this politician or that court. We say, this is what is ruling and you know, everything that we experience in America is because these people in charge. And yes, we talk about the media, but we have, I think, not nearly enough understanding of how influential and powerful the media are in what they don't do. It's not as much as what they do. So the bigger thing is Silicon Valley censoring stories and keeping them from people. Okay? That's bigger and more damaging than going out and writing a story that Mandela Barnes, who's running for Senate in Wisconsin, thinks national parks are racist. Because they believe that. The left believes that. They believe that national parks are racist. This is the next big thing. They've moved on from roads and bridges, and now they think national parks are racist. So they're supporting him, and they're writing these stories in support of him. But most people read those the same way we read a lot of liberal stories. We laugh at them and go, okay, whatever. So it's not as impactful for them to do the things that they do as it is to not do what they don't do. And that's what's happening in Kansas City. It's what they're not doing in the media in Kansas City that is bad for this town and bad for justice, fairness, equity, whatever term you want to use. It's just sitting there. And it's the same thing nationally. When big tech censors the Hunter Biden story and it's not found anywhere on your search engine, or it's not on Facebook, or it's not in all these places that they disallow it, okay, that is always more damaging than the stories the left will write or the right will write. You know, they all run around and scream each other, oh, your coverage is biased. It's not the stories you do. It's the ones you don't do. It's always the cover-up, folks. You know, this is from the second, well, there's more history than this, but in my lifetime, Watergate. It's always the cover-up. It's not the crime, it's the cover-up, right? We see this right and left, and that's what this is in Kansas City. This is just a massive cover-up, and it's a concerted effort between the Chiefs, major businesses and sponsors, and media outlets. It's the same stuff that happens between the liberals, the mainstream media, and big tech. It's the same thing. This is just in Kansas City. It is identical, folks. It is absolutely identical. All right, KKHI is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental. We thank Dr. Bill Bush for being such a great sponsor. He's my dentist. He should be your dentist. He's the best. He's got a tremendous staff. They have two offices, North Kansas City and Westwood, Kansas. They provide all kinds of regular dental care, implants, cosmetic dentistry, veneers, TMJ, teeth whitening. Log on to nkcdental.com and make this awesome man, Dr. Bill Bush, and his team at NKC Dental your new dentist. Amazing Garage Floors, proud supporters of Red, White, and Bluma. Coming up September 24th in Stillwell, it's Bluma-palooza at Stonegate Motor Plaza. If you'd like to go, or if you'd like to donate to this great cause that has raised over $350,000 to military charities in Kansas City, log on to Red, White, and Bluma, B-L-U-M-A, redwhiteandbluma.org. Make a donation or buy tickets and go. They have live music. It's a fun festival. You'll have a great time at Red, White, and Bluma. It is September 24th, Saturday, in Stillwell at Stonegate Motor Plaza. Learn more at redwhiteandbluma.org, presented by Amazing Garage Floors. Cross Kitchens KC, family-owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. Tim Cross and his family would love to help your family make your kitchen, your space, just a better place to gather for your entire family. Time is all you have. Spend it wisely, right? So the time you spend with your family in your home really matters. And if your kitchen needs a little bit of an overhaul, if it needs to be a little more comfortable, a little more fashionable, a little more operable, Cross Kitchens KC can do that for you. Log on to crosskitchenskc.com today to see their portfolio and get more information. Then schedule that appointment. Tim will come out to your house and sit down with you and talk about all your hopes and dreams of what you'd like to do with your home. And you decide if he's for you. I think you'll find he is. crosskitchenskc.com. And back9development.com. Six condominiums remain at the Solheim at Grand Mere in Manhattan on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Many people headed to Manhattan this weekend for the game. A lot of you tried to get rooms at the Bluemont Hotel. It's sold out. It's hard on game weekends. A lot of folks are finding that they love to buy these condominiums as investment properties. They have them to go play golf or hunting trips or the lake or concerts, events, graduations, different things going on in Manhattan or around Kansas State. And then they find that there are certain times they can rent it out on the weekends of game weekends and make thousands of dollars. So it pays for itself. You want to learn more? Contact them at back9development.com. Plenty of people have purchased these condos and are making money with these condos. They're spectacular upscale condominiums on the Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. Solheim at Grand Mere is the name of the condominiums. The website is back, the numeral 9, development, back9development.com. All right, here's how bad it has gotten with media in this country. The Politico, which we mentioned on yesterday's podcast, is going straight to the middle. That their new owners have said, we're going to the middle, we're going to prove this is right. They're backing it up. They have a report out now in the last 24 hours that the White House is furious. Okay, now this is, wait, now take a pause for a second. 6 months ago, we're talking about far-left Politico reporting about far-left CNN. Now we have Politico moving to the center. I'm going to start checking their website out, and I'll let you know if they're really in the center. Middle of the road, reported both ways, Politico is reporting that the White House is furious with CNN and their coverage of Biden's speech last week, most particularly the optics of how ominous it looked and how brooding and un-American it was. They're mad at CNN. They're also upset, the White House is, about reporting on the student loan buyout and the fairness that was displayed there at CNN. This is a great sign. It's going to take a while for CNN to be whatever CNN's going to be. They are not there yet. Don Lemon's still on. You know, he's a bomb thrower from the left. But it is a great sign when a previously far-left media outlet is reporting about a previously far-left media outlet that the far-left White House is furious at both of them. This is good. This is what I'm talking about in Kansas City. Would it be terrible if the Chiefs were furious at the Star? Could the Chiefs really go around and just pull business with everyone because they're mad at people? At some point, when you shine light on these things and the public sees what's really going on, they'll side with the media outlet and they will thank the media outlet for exposing it. They will. I've known this my entire career. People resonate toward that. It's the only reason this podcast works. You hear the truth here that you don't hear in other places. We don't care about that. We don't. I care about people who listen to this. I care about mostly people that live in and around Kansas City, but we've got listeners all over the country and in every state. Some of them are transplanted, but some of them aren't. We appreciate those folks too. Greatly appreciate that. I work for the sponsors. They're good people. I hope that you'll, patronize their businesses so this all works. But if it doesn't, I'm probably still sitting here doing this. Find a part-time job doing something else to make money, whatever. If I have to, it's fine. I like seeing this, that the White House is mad at liberal media outlets. We know they're always going to be mad at Fox and people like that, but this is a good sign. We live in a time where, in the same day, MSNBC has a guy named Mehdi Hassan, who was born in England. This is what we call context. He was born in England. He chose to be an American citizen. So he's got dual citizenship in the United Kingdom and the United States. He decided America's pretty great. It's my parents are from India, but I was born in England. So I'm a citizen of the UK, but I'd really like to be an American citizen. So he comes here and studies and becomes an American citizen, does the whole thing. He now works for MSNBC. And this is remarkable what he said. He did an interview and said the term, both sides. This is talking about reporting and stories. Both sides needs to be removed from media vocabulary. This guy was born in another country and chose to come to the greatest country on earth. And he now is the expert on journalism and says both sides need to be scratched. What he's saying is the only thing ever that should be reported anywhere in the United States is far left. That's it. That's the only stuff that should ever be out there for anyone to consume, because I know what's best for them. Because I was born, my parents are from India. I was born in England and I moved here and became a citizen, and I know what's best for all Americans. He says there's no both sides to many of these stories. There's no both sides to climate change. There's no both sides to white supremacy, he says. What? I mean, this is what we're trying to ferret out. And, you know, we want to talk about systemic bias. Journalism's it. It's absolutely and utterly remarkable. And to tie the whole thing together, we also reported to you recently about a murder that happened in Las Vegas that's not getting hardly any attention. A man named Jeff German, 69 years old, for 35 years, had been an investigative reporter in Las Vegas. He'd worked many years for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He was their lead guy in a city, okay, covering corruption in politics, business, casinos, and government. That's what he did. And he was great at his job. And he loved being in Vegas because that kind of corruption is everywhere. And the Las Vegas paper said, you're the man, go report it. And the stories he reported on through the years were unbelievable of the corruption and things that go on in Las Vegas. You can only imagine, right? So the last year or so, he'd been writing stories about a man named Robert Tellis, who was the Clark County administrator. The Clark County administrator apparently was bullying his staff, showing favoritism, promoting a subordinate he was sleeping with, all of the things that you can't do in 2022. So they're shining a spotlight on this guy. In June, this guy loses his election. He's no longer going to be the county administrator. He's a young guy, 45 years old. He had his visions of being the mayor, maybe the governor someday. This is a guy in politics, ready to rock and roll, and he's doing all the wrong things in his office, and he's a scumbag, basically. Well, we told you that this story looked way wrong. Jeff German was killed last week, found on his doorstep, stabbed to death multiple times. I said, no, this doesn't make sense. Somebody came to the door, knocked on the door, and stabbed him to death. That's what happened. Well, they've arrested Robert Tellis, the Clark County administrator. Folks, this is like we talk about the intimidation of judges and the Supreme Court. We're living in a violent America where this scares people off from doing the work that is supposed to be done in an industry that is vitally important. Courts, locking people up, very important. Judges, extremely important. They shouldn't be bullied. They shouldn't be murdered. They shouldn't be attacked. And yet they are. And for some reason, our system is allowing it. This reporter was doing his job and was killed by somebody that he wrote truthful stories about that ruined his career, and he went and killed the reporter. I know we talk about hate crimes. What about professional crimes? Should we have a different category? Because to me, this is just death penalty. If you go kill somebody for specifically for one reason, and that is they did their job, that should be the death penalty. This should be swift and immediate. This should be a death penalty case. You don't go kill somebody for doing their job. We have checks and balances in this country only if the people willing to provide the services to perform the checks and balances feel safe. Otherwise, people are going to stop doing these jobs. No lawyer is going to want to become a judge. No student is going to want to go out and be a reporter where they shine light on darkness, ferret out the truth. They're not going to do it. I knew when I read this story that it was somebody he reported on. It was somebody in government or casino. This is a movie, all right? This is a book. This is just everything you could ever think of. A guy rats out wrongdoings in government, and the government official goes and kills him. When they go to pick this dude up, tell us, they surround his house. They've got his car. They've saw some surveillance footage. They're like, we're picking him up. He's in his house, and when they come to get him, he starts stabbing himself. This guy doesn't have a gun. He's probably an anti-gun guy, right? So he's got a knife. He starts trying to kill himself with a knife. By the time they get to him, they pull him out on a stretcher. They haul him off to jail. I'm sorry. I would have declared that once I knew he was stabbing himself, I'd have said, I'm sorry, if I'm the chief or the person on the set, everybody stand down. Let's stand down. We're going to be here a while. Somebody order some pizza. We're going to be here a while. Let's just let him lay in there a while. This is too dangerous. We don't want to go in. Let's not go get him. We've got the house surrounded. Half you guys can go home, get some rest. This is not as dangerous a situation. We only need about, a dozen cops here around this house. This is fine. We're good here. SWAT, you can go home. We're going to wait this one out. We'll do it in 4-hour shifts. We'll switch him over. I'd have sat there for 36 hours and let him bleed to death. Absolute piece of spit, this guy. Robert Tellis, 45 years old. Crazy. All right, we'll get on to sports here because there's a lot more fun stuff going on. We'll pick it up. We'll pick the tone up here. Maybe you're headed to Manhattan this weekend to see the K-State-Missouri game. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait, actually. We'll have some news on that coming up. KKHI and Sports brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging, who remind you to see what's inside. If you have pain, go see your doctor. Sometimes an MRI or a CT scan is exactly what you need. It could be just a hairline fracture or a tear or something that can't really be diagnosed unless you look. Go do it. And go to Advanced Medical Imaging online at medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. These people are the best, and they will get you checked out today or tomorrow. They schedule you right away. They're not like these ridiculous hospital chains that make you wait 3 weeks. So give it a shot. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, home of the free lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Why would you get your car somewhere else where they charge you for a lifetime warranty when you can get it at Roberts Robinson, and it's included? If you'd like to log on to robertsrobinson.com, you can order your new Chevy, Buick, or GMC exactly the way you like it, and they'll have it delivered right to you. That's exactly right. Don't forget, Costco members get an extra $1,000 incentive on Chevy HD work trucks, and they have 0% APR right now on most GMC and Buick vehicles. Put in your order today for that new car or truck before prices or availability change. Log on to robertsrobinson.com, where they're averaging $2,000 to $5,000 more for trade-ins right now than they did a year ago. It's all online where we just make it easy. robertsrobinson.com and Chevrolet, find new roads. Great Life KC, play more golf. Fall is an excellent time to play more golf. I'm headed to the Lake of the Ozarks next weekend. We're going to play Osage National a couple of days at the Lake of the Ozarks. It's part of Great Life. My good buddy Steve Speck over at Canyon Farms, who's the general manager there, has hooked us up. We're getting some of the guys back together from the 40-year reunion of the 1982 Shawnee Mission North Indians state championship baseball team, and we'll be playing some golf that weekend at Osage National, a wonderful property, all part of Great Life Golf, online at greatlifekc.com. Okay, I mentioned the biggest story is, we've got the Chiefs playing their first game. We've got K-State and Missouri playing. We have KU playing in the Big 12 at West Virginia this week. We've got all these football games, and I think everybody just knows so much about their teams right now, and there isn't really enough to talk about with what they've seen, that it's a weird kind of week to be analyzing and breaking down rosters and games and stuff. We're all waiting to see more of certain players. We know what they are, but until we have these games, it becomes difficult. So what are the big stories this week? Well, the biggest story in Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes has a new State Farm commercial where he's getting ready to take a bath. It is. It's cute. I like it. I don't dislike the Patrick Mahomes commercials. They're fine. I like it. I just think it's funny that that's the biggest story. The biggest story around the K-State-Missouri game now has become a national story because OutKick has penned a piece that last week, the Kansas State students during the playing of the Wabash Cannonball while playing South Dakota, the kids were bored, they started chanting FKU. FKU. They actually said the word, not the letter. I don't condone it. I don't like it. If they do it all the time, it's embarrassing. It certainly doesn't make a whole lot of sense when KU isn't there. I mean, there's some weird dynamics to all this. Then there's the piece at OutKick is basically written. It says that at K-State, they have decided this is what they're going to do. If it happens this week, and this is a weird week because the Missouri fans will join in and do it with them. If they start chanting the FKU this week, the Missouri fans in Manhattan will also do it. So it could be like 30,000 people screaming that out of 55,000. You know, like half the fans or something. Who knows what would happen? It isn't right. I remember taking my kids. It doesn't offend me anymore like it used to, but I don't take my kids to games anymore. If I had a grandchild and I was going this week, I'd probably be here outraged. I don't think they should do it. I don't. I don't condone it. But I also don't view it the same way I did when I took my kids to the game. I'm just being honest with you. So the band director says, if you start doing it, we're going to stop the music and we will not play it again the rest of the game. And they play it 6 or 8 times a game, the Wabash Cannonball. Wabash Cannonball goes back to, according to OutKick, 1968, when Nichols Gymnasium burned to the ground. When it burned to the ground, the band practiced in there. They had sheet music. They had storage. The only piece of sheet music that survived the fire was a piece of sheet music for the song The Wabash Cannonball. So that became the school's fight song at that point. They're like, this is the survivor. This is what our sports teams need to remember. This is our battle cry. This was stronger than the fire. So the Wabash Cannonball is what they play. Unfortunately, weird things happen at Kansas State when it comes to KU. They don't like KU very much. A few years ago, you may recall, during a halftime performance, the band, it might have been pregame, the band was doing formations on the field. K-State has a good band. And I don't know, I still don't know if the director of the band, the same guy who says he's pulling the plug on this, he got suspended, I know that. He got in trouble. Surely he had to know what was going on. They did a formation that looked like a Jayhawk giving oral sex. They did that at Kansas State. It was a big story many years ago, six, seven years ago. Band director suspended. It was the same kind of thing. It caught national news. They're like, oh, look at this. They were doing like a Star Wars formation. And when they moved from one battleship to another battleship, they sort of pause. You know, when you start to change formations, everything bunches up in the middle of the field. Well, they figured it out to where if they bunched it up in the middle of the field and they stopped for about a second, that's what it looked like. And then they just kept moving and turned back into their Star Wars formation. It was clever. K-State's got some issues now. I know that I went there. My oldest, Spencer's like, oh my God, if they ruin this tradition of the Wabash Cannonball because of this childish stuff, he's 32 and he's upset. And I said, Spence, your generation ruined Sandstorm. They stopped playing a song called Sandstorm about 10 or 12 years ago when Jacob Pullen and Beasley and those guys were at K-State playing basketball. Because the FKU chant kept coming out during this. This is an ongoing problem at Kansas State. The problem is they hate Kansas too much. They hate them too much. They're obsessed with it. They're completely over the top obsessed with the University of Kansas. And they're playing South Dakota and they're chanting FKU. So that's the biggest story. I texted my friends last night. I said, well, we're going to give it one half of the Wabash Cannonball one time on Saturday. Then they're pulling the plug. I think the interesting thing, because now you've challenged them. It's a national story now. It's on OutKick. Every student at K-State's going to want to chant this now. They're not kicking them out. They can't kick them all out. They can't do it. So the big question now is, are the Missouri fans going to join in? Because there'll be plenty of Missouri fans at this game. Will the Missouri fans now join in with the K-State fans and chant FKU at a K-State-Missouri game after they've gone 11 years without playing each other? That would be amazing. Salvador Perez is amazing. He's a really good player for the Kansas City Royals. He had his eighth walk-off as a career on Wednesday night. It was a sacrifice fly. It followed an MJ Melendez single. Salvi had a big night, had a couple of hits. He always has big nights. He's on a big hitting streak at home. Where he calmed Melendez down in the dugout, Melendez is like, whoa, this closer throws 103 miles an hour and he's been wild. Do I go up there taking pitches? And Salvi's like, no, go up there whacking, man. Melendez goes up and delivers the big hit, a single, that scored a run to tie the game 1-1 in the bottom of the ninth. And then Salvi hits the sacrifice fly to win it. The really interesting dynamic here is the Guardians walked Bobby Witt Jr. in order to pitch to Salvador Perez with the bases loaded. That's weird. That's weird. Now, they wanted to set up a force at any base. I kind of get that. But the pitcher had been struggling to throw strikes, and that just seemed a little odd to me. We're going to pitch to a Hall of Famer instead of Bobby Witt Jr. There is a compliment in there to Bobby Witt Jr. There's an insult to Salvador Perez. But mostly what there was a strategy and a decision to be made. We need the bases loaded here in order to try to win this game. But Salvador Perez is an absolute gem, folks. All right, let's roll through some quickies here in sports. These are fun. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, is quoted in an interview as saying, "Screw you, Elizabeth Warren. You're everything that's wrong with politics." Cuban has been critical of Donald Trump. He tries to play the middle. He tries to convince people that he's left and right. That's a very difficult thing to do in America today. Cuban particularly upset with Elizabeth Warren, always just the only thing she ever talks about is higher taxes for rich people. And he said, look, I don't mind paying my taxes, and I pay my taxes, and I should pay more than other people, but that you run around as a politician and that's the only substance you have is pathetic. And he's right. Elizabeth Warren is not a person of substance. She is everything that's wrong with politics. He is correct. Mark Cuban, screw you, Elizabeth Warren. I like that one. Greg Gumbel of CBS Sports, getting ready to start in the NFL, says to hell with sports radio and sports radio listeners. Greg Gumbel, there's some disingenuous stuff here. He says he's only listened to 1 hour of sports radio in his life, and that's while he's on hold getting ready to come on as a guest. That's not true, because he had a job at a New York sports radio station many, many years ago where he did a morning show. Now, he mostly just read wire copy, so he wasn't really an opinionist. Didn't have any takes, so he wasn't really involved in that. But he just thinks sports radio is for complete and total losers. This is a guy that needs to retire. I saw him do a preseason game a couple weeks ago, the Steelers game, and he's lost it. He had so many mistakes. He's old. He doesn't know what he's doing. Greg Gumbel is not good anymore, folks. Now he's lost his freaking mind. Here's what he says of sports radio, what he's basically saying of sports fans. When you say sports radio, you're saying sports fans. Because sports fans like to discuss and argue sports. Greg Gumbel says to sports radio listeners, quote, good luck in your early grave, because I think listening to it, it's the most ridiculous thing on this planet, unquote. Greg Gumbel? Really? You don't know, you've forgotten why people love sports. You've completely lost touch and forgotten why people love sports and why it's a passion and why it is a diversion from everything else going on in their lives and the stuff they're trying to forget about. It's their happy place. Even when your team loses, there is happiness in your team losing. It's the only thing in life like that. You know, you get sick, you don't see anything good about being sick. You go through a divorce, you don't feel like there's anything good going on here. You have tragedy in your life, there's nothing out of your team loses. Sometimes there's still joy in that because you know you're alive and you love your team. You're upset they lost a game. You're upset a guy dropped a pass. But you know what? You get over it real quick and you love your team and you're ready to come back for more. That's what sports is about. Sports is about identifying with other people that like your team. You like your team. I can see you can go to Arrowhead Stadium and you can't point out the Democrats and Republicans. They just all love the Chiefs. Granted, it's probably 85% Republicans, but I digress. Greg Gumbel's forgotten that. I feel bad for him. He's forgotten that. And he's disingenuous for saying he's only listened to 1 hour of it. If he's only listened to 1 hour of it, he's not qualified to comment on listeners. And he is commenting on listeners. He thinks that they tune in simply to be told what to think because they don't have minds of their own. Wow, dude. Oof, get a hold of yourself. At the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament, Carlos Alcaraz beats Jannik Sinner. Alcaraz is the number three tennis player in the world, or number three seed in this tournament. Did you know that? I didn't. Skinner's number 11. These are great young tennis players. I mean, really great young tennis players. They played for over 5 hours Wednesday night and Thursday morning because the match did not end in New York until 2:50 a.m., almost 3 a.m. Second longest match in U.S. Open history. Alcaraz, when he won, laid on the court exhausted. In a post-game interview, he said, I got to thank these fans. I couldn't do this. I don't know how I did it. I found energy from the fans that stayed there until 3 a.m. The city that never sleeps. Also in New York, Jerry Seinfeld, who somebody most people like, certainly loved his show, is upset that the Mets had lost 5 out of 8 games, and he blamed it on Timmy Trumpet. If you haven't seen Timmy Trumpet is a trumpet player who comes out and plays salsa, Latin music. I'm not qualified to say exactly what kind of music it is, but he's trumpeteering when closer Edwin Diaz comes into the game, who's a beast. And the entire stadium now is bringing little miniature trumpets, the little toy ones that you can get at the dollar store, and they're acting like they're playing the trumpet with him, and everybody's got them out in New York. It's wild. It's 48,000 fans on their feet. Here comes the closer, the trumpet guy's playing. He's on the field playing this trumpet when Edwin Diaz comes in. It's everything baseball needs to be. Everything baseball needs to be. They need more of this. It needs more entertainment. It's fantastic. Google it. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it. Find it today. Watch the video. Timmy Trumpet. Timmy Trumpet comes out and plays. Jerry Seinfeld said the losing started when they started doing this. He blames the losses on the trumpet. He blames the 2000 World Series on the Baja Men, which was a group that sang a song called Who Let the Dogs Out? And they let them on the field one time to sing that, and then the Mets lost to the Yankees in the 2000 World Series in 5 games. Seinfeld says this is all just bad mojo celebrating anything that isn't completed. I get it. He's a comedian. I think he's trying to be funny here. I don't take Jerry Seinfeld literally when he says these things, but I applaud him for being a Mets fan in a Yankees town, and I think Timmy Trumpet is exactly what baseball needs. I would have if Kauffman Stadium, when Joaquin Soria were here and were the best closer in baseball, had a trumpet player playing, you know, some kind of famous Mexican song on the trumpet when he came in, would have just been spectacular. I would have loved every second of that. I've also loved every second of owning my Finch knife, the Cherry Bomb. I own the Cherry Bomb. The Buffalo Tooth is now out. It is a new series of knives at finchknifeco.com. They're an homage to the American bison, which once roamed the Great Plains by the tens of millions. You're going to love this. Online at finchknifeco.com or find them at retailers around Kansas City. If your sporting goods store doesn't have them, ask them why not. Ask them. Go do this. Go to Dick's. Go to Bass Pro. Where are the Finch knives? Go in and start asking for them. You'll help this company a lot. It's a great Kansas City company. These are good dudes. They're conservatives. They ought to be in Bass Pro. They ought to be everywhere. Go into these stores, if that's where you go, and say, how come you don't carry Finch knives? That'd be really helpful, man. You want to help somebody with their upstart company, great local company, conservative guys? There it is. Go into your retailer and ask, where are the Finch knives? What the heck? What's the deal, dude? Seriously? If you walk into B-Stock and say, well, where are the 50-inch TVs? They're going to say, well, come back to this part of the warehouse. We got hundreds of them. It's unbelievable. This warehouse is just loaded with electronics, computers, laptops, anything electronic, bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Big fans of those guys. I just got a new TV for this Sunday's game at Bstock. Saved me a pile of money. Never even thought about going anywhere else. Just walk right in anywhere. They're open until 5 every day, 10 to 5, closed on Sunday, 10 to 5 every day, noon to 5 on Saturdays, bstock.net. When I write the patrons post, almost every week, if you become a patron, you get this newsletter. And I write a lottery story of some sort. Not every week, but almost. And so I was getting ready to write this down for the post. I make notes all week long of things I'm going to write in the newsletter. A Virginia man bought a scratcher ticket, and he went to the lottery office to collect his money because they said where he bought it. He bought it at a Safeway, and he thought he'd won $600. And apparently they said, you know what, you better go to the lottery center and pick that up. So he goes to pick up his $600 at the lottery center, and shows him his scratcher, and they said, dude, there's a pretty serious multiplier on this ticket. I don't think he'd even scratched it, because they run it under a scanner. They run the barcode, And he hadn't done that. He scratched off the deal, but then there's multipliers and stuff at the top that I guess he hadn't done. They run it under the little scanner and they go, yeah, we got a little more than $600 for you. It was a $1 million win. Dude thought he won 600 bucks. That's the kind of story I like to put in the patrons post. But while I was doing that, another story popped up. Did you know this? We talked about the Mega Millions deal a month ago. $1.34 billion. One person in Illinois won this. Remember? One person won the $1.34 billion Mega Millions prize. It's been a month. That person has not come forward. Lottery officials say they believe there's either a lost ticket or a person that does not know they won, which means they could have thrown it away. This person, I think, has 6 months. So there's 5 months to go before anything's decided on what happens here. But they're of the belief that there will not be a winner of the $1.34 billion. That is astounding. We all know there's lost tickets. We all know people are stupid. You know, I mean, a dude could have looked online at the numbers and looked at the wrong drawing and threw it right in the trash. People I know that play frequently, they don't ever do that. They always go back to Quick Trip or wherever and scan it just to double check. They don't trust themselves to make sure that they got it right. Go scan the barcode. If you ever buy a lottery ticket, before you throw it away, go scan the barcode. Who knows what may happen? For one man in Virginia, it was the difference between $600 and $1 million. $1 million. All right, we got a lot more coming up. We're going to have a patron podcast Thursday with Danny Klingscale, Between the Lines 2.0. That will be fun. We'll also have Lee Sterling's free pick. Thursday night football is the Bills and the Rams. It's the first night of the season. And Lee Sterling's going to have that play for us free, just for the patrons, on Thursday night. He's 1-0 this year. He picked Missouri last Thursday night and hit it. So he's 27-14 now in 2 years for the patrons on Thursday nights. He's 1-0 this year for the patrons. If you become a patron today and want to hear that selection, it's there absolutely free on the patron podcast. We'll get her there for you. So that's fun. And, of course, we'll still have Lee Sterling's regular segment this week for everyone, where he'll talk about our local games and things like that. So we got a lot of football coming up the next 2 days. Spencer is doing the weekend edition of KKHI, which will be a lot of football as well. I think we may have one new sponsor for that. We're asking people if you want to sign up and become a sponsor of the weekend podcast that Spencer hosts. It's not very expensive. It's easy to get in. I will mention and promote for you that you're a sponsor of that podcast on this podcast. So you'll get a little carryover. You won't officially be a sponsor of this podcast, but I'll promote you on this podcast that you're supporting my son's podcast. And it's not a lot of money, folks. If you'd like to do that, send us an email, kevin@kksissues.com. This could be for a small company, an individual company, or you know, maybe somebody who's in real estate or something and you want to get your name out there. So it's a much lower buy-in, much easier thing to do, and I will help promote you as well to help Spencer get started with the weekend podcast. He's very serious about it this year. He wants to do a really good job for everybody. He hopes you'll listen, and if we can get him a few sponsors, we can make it well worth his time. It'd be a pretty nice thing for him. He's maybe going to be getting married next year. He's trying to save up some money. Hopefully, baby needs new shoes at some point because I need a grandbaby. It's all part of the deal. If you'd like to sponsor the weekend edition of KKHI, again, I will also promote that you're sponsoring it. When I promote each week, I'm going to promote, hey, don't forget Spencer's podcast brought to you by XYZ. And so we can do that for you. Shoot me an email, kevin@kksissues.com. If not, find somebody in the next few days and just tell them that I've got issues. And you know what? Maybe write a letter to the editor, call out a media outlet. The things we talked about earlier in this podcast I think are very important. I hope you think they're very important. I'm really disappointed in what's going on in Kansas City right now in journalism and in the media. And hopefully we can make a difference here. And if you help find enough people to listen, it'll be a groundswell. It'll be a wave. We can do this. We can do this. I think we can change media. I think we can get back to a day where they will report stories above corporate relationships. That's very, very important in this country. It's very, very important in our community. Have a great day, and thanks for listening to KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. subscribe to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties. Visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.